And it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh to draw water, and I say unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say unto me, both drink thou, and I will draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And behold, before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her, and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face, and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head, and worshipped the Lord. And blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing that proceedeth from the Lord, we cannot speak unto thee good, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's wife, as the Lord has spoken. It came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, saying, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah, and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah rose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the well of Lahori, for he dwelled in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us in honoring of the reading of the Word of the Lord this afternoon. Very familiar passage of the Word of the Lord where we're reading today. I want to preach if the Lord will help me, especially out of verse number 58, where they did ask of this young lady, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. I want to preach if the Lord will help me this afternoon. I'm going with God. Going with God. If you're going to go with God, you'll have to make a choice and a determination that you will go. And there are in our text this afternoon four important characters. There is this man Abraham, his servant Isaac, and Rebekah. And these four typify for us the search and call for sinners to come to the Savior. Abraham is, of course, a likeness of the Father God Himself. And the servant is that of the Holy Ghost. And I still believe in the convicting work of the Holy Ghost to draw sinners unto salvation to be saved. Matter of fact, I worry
I'm concerned for a lot of the people I deal with in the church age in which we live, because they know a lot of doctrine, they know a lot of stuff, but they don't seem to know what it takes to get saved. And unless you get started, as the preacher preached this afternoon, at the right place in the race, then it invalidates everything else. And my friend, you cannot know the Lord without an introduction from His servant, the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then there is this one Isaac. It is the likeness of the Son. He is that promised seed that God gave to Abraham and to Sarah in their old age. He's the one that through him Abraham saw and believed the gospel. And Jesus said, Abraham saw my day, and he rejoiced and was glad in it. Amen. And Isaac, my friend, is a type of the Son. And then there is Rebekah, a likeness of the sinner who comes to know the Lord. In Rebekah, we can see ourselves. If you've ever been saved, if you know what it is to go with God, you can relate to what Rebekah experiences in chapter 24 of the book of Genesis. Abraham asked his servant to go away into a far land and there to find a bride to bring back home to marry his son Isaac. And that servant travels and goes to the place commanded of him. And he comes upon a well. The well, of course, is the likeness of the house of God. I praise the Lord for the spring water. I thank God for the place where we have. And I feel waters to drink from. Cool waters to a thirsty soul. Good news from a fire country. I'm glad for a place like that. Amen. And I'm thankful that I was raised and brought up around people that knew how to draw water out of the well. Amen. And knew what it was, a friend to direct you to the well. And he comes to this place and he asks the Lord to send the right one for him. By the way, it's a wonderful lesson here that we pray for God's direction in our life. I can't think of a bigger decision to pray about than who in the world you'd marry. And my friend, when it comes to making that type, that commitment of marriage, I can't think of a more important life decision to pray about. And my friend, to take under advisement of the Holy Spirit, and he asked God to give him direction, and he asked God to give him a sign. What he asked for may seem real simple to you, to me. I mean, just give a drink of water when you ask for it. Offer a little water to the animals. We're not talking about giving a drink of water to a cat, or my friend, or a dog. We're talking about camels. This man's come with an entourage on a long journey. In one stop, a camel could drink 12 to 15 gallons of water. And my friend, she doesn't have a pump. And my friend, she's not just turning on a spigot and waiting for the tub to fill up. But my hand, she's got to head down in the well time and time and time again. No telling how many trips it took her going down and manually drawing water out and to give water into this man's camels. I don't know how many camels he had, but I know he had more than one because he said, I wanted to water my camels. I don't know how many there was, but it was a lot of work. It was a lot of labor. He didn't even ask her to do this. All he asked for was a drink. She said, take all you want, and I'll take care of your camels. Oh, it was a sign from the Lord. And then when he talked to her and learned who she was, and that reinforced what God had sent him there for. And my friend, he comes now and is talking to her father and her brother in that chapter. And he recounts unto them what God has done and says how the Lord has done a great work. And said, now if you'll deal kindly with me, if you're willing to go along with what God has said, then you let me know. And if not, I'll go ahead and go on my way. By the way, that's the way the work of the Holy Ghost is. You'll either comply with Him, or you'll either come clean with Him. You'll either get honest with Him. You'll either accept His work in your life, or He will go about His way. Amen. If you spurn Him, if you reject Him, if you turn Him away, my friend, you may never have another opportunity to receive Him into your life. And so it is that He says, to deal kindly with Him. They said, oh, we could never stand in the way of what the Lord is doing. We'll not speak good or bad towards it. We'll have to let this young lady say for herself. But they called and asked her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Oh, friend, in your life, when you come to that crossroads, when that invitation is issued, answer in the affirmative. Answer without reservation. Answer with certitude. Oh, yes, I will go. I have three little girls. My oldest is 13 and been saved about 4 years. That first said, the other two don't know the Lord yet. And my middle girl just now turned to 9. And my baby's 3 years old. And I try to teach my children to be very sensitive to the work of the Holy Ghost. Oh, listen, friend. It's a serious matter. A little child like that under the preaching of the gospel when God deals with their heart. That's the time to get it right with God. Don't wait until you've got heart. Don't wait until, friend, a nastiness and sin has cluttered up your life. And my friend, you have a resistance built up to God. When He says, wilt thou go? I answer in the affirmative. Let Him know, yes, Lord. I want You in my life. Yes, I want to be saved. Yes, I want the Holy Ghost. Yes, I want God to live in me. Yes, I want You to be my Lord and my Savior. And my friend, don't delay. Don't procrastinate. And don't turn Him away. Amen. Oh, be obedient when He calls upon you. Matter of fact, I want to say this. We don't have a whole lot of young parents in the building, but I'm preaching the few that are God, I suppose. And maybe reminding you who might have grandchildren to impress this upon your children as they try to bring up their youngins. But the reason why, the greatest reason why we teach our children obedience to authority is so when the time comes that they are arrested by the authority of the Holy Ghost, that they know how to positively and rightly respond to authority. I mean, I teach them to respect Dad's authority. I teach them to respect governmental authority. I teach them to respect the teacher's authority. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon their lives, and my friend, the authority of the Spirit of God is exerted upon their souls, I want them to know how to submit to the authority of the Spirit of God and say, yes, I will go. That's what being saved is. That's what coming to know the Lord is all about. And if you don't know what I'm preaching about, you don't know what it is to be saved. And friend, when you come under conviction and you surrender under God and you answer, yes, I will go, that's what being born again is about. It's not about repeating a prayer, being dunked in a pool. It's not about water or works or wisdom or wealth. Amen. Oh, being born again is about a supernatural work of the Holy God of heaven that transpires in your soul. Oh, friend, it'll be initiated by God and it'll have to be accepted by you or it'll never happen. Amen. But I don't know how you feel or what you think about it this afternoon, but I believe I'll just go with God. Let the others go as they may. Our brother priest's right. The world's going in every direction. The world, even the religious world, even the church world is going in every direction. And let others go as they will. But I'll go with God. I'll go with the Lord. Somebody told me back about 2 years ago. I've been preaching 23 years. They told me back about 2 years ago. I said, if you keep preaching the way you preach, I said, there's so much change happening in the modern world. I said, you're still a young man. I said, before you ever get to be aged like some of these other men, you'll run out of a place to preach. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I've still got a few spots nailed down in the prisons and the penitentiaries. How long as they remain open. How long as the street corners are not shut down. How long as I still got a barber friend or two still in business. I'll have a place to preach. Amen. I do not go with the way of this world. You choose who you'll serve this afternoon. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And I believe I'll just go on with God. Amen. Oh, thank God it came time. She had to make an answer for herself. Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. If you'll go with God this afternoon, it will be a choice. It's not just a choice, but it is a choice. It's not just a decision, but it is a decision. God will not redeem you against your own will. He'll not drag you kicking and screaming into heaven while you're begging not to go. If you're going to get right with God, if you're going to walk with God, you'll have to decide to. Matter of fact, if you're going to live for God, you'll have to decide to. You're going to need to decide to live for God every day. Every day you'll live for the world, you'll live for self. You'll live for self-value, self-worth, self-desire, self-fulfillment. Or you'll live for Jesus. Amen, that's right. You'll have to choose you this day. This day, tomorrow, the next day. Every day you'll have to choose whom you will serve. Amen. And to whom you yield yourself service, to obey His servants you are. Oh, friend, you'll have to choose to go with God. They asked her, wilt thou? She said, I will. Sort of reminds me of a marriage ceremony. Don't know about you. I stand before God and all these witnesses and say, wilt thou take this man to be a lawfully wedded husband and daughter, to obey, to cherish, to love, to cleave unto Him and to no other till death do you part? And the bride answers, I will. I ask the same of the husband. And the groom answers, I will. And the Lord's asking the same of folks today. And if you'll go with God, you'll have to say the same. I will. Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, Lord, help us. Hey, friend, it's a choice. It's a personal matter. Notice it is a personal choice. Whatever came right down to it. Her family said, oh, we can't answer for her. Call the damsel, let her answer for herself. If mama could ask, she'd answer for me. If daddy could have, he'd answer for me. But it came down to time that I had to answer for myself. That's right. Mom would gather around. I appreciate the testimony this morning. That helped me. It is worth driving out here this morning to be a part of this meeting today just to hear the testimonies this morning in the meeting. What a blessing. I praise God for it. Mom would gather the young ones around when I was a kid and she'd lay her hands on our heads and pray and weep with tears dripping off her chin and pray for us and call our names out and lay her hands on our head and ask God to work in our lives. Hey, I remember many times standing there, just a little fella, about knee high and her with her hands on my head, crying out to God. You could have heard her to bounding back. I'm talking to the Lord and saying, oh, God, save my boy and don't let him go to hell. Matter of fact, I've had her tell me time and again, son, I prayed before you were born that God had looked down into time and see whether you'd receive him or reject him. And if you'd have a hard heart, have a stiff neck and reject him. I prayed God would take you from the womb. She said, I'd rather stand. I'll let a little test you. I know I'd see you again one day. As to stand someday and watch you go out of this walks of life. I know you died and went to hell. Somebody said, that's mighty strong medicine. Hey, friend, it is. And I paid attention to mama's prayers. Amen. Hey, that's exactly right. That old white shot up in the skies. How that little municipal airport, how twin engine planes are coming in and out over there bound something. When I was a kid and I'd see them lights shining up there, God knows planes then. I didn't know what they were. I'd ask my daddy, what in the world's them lights shining in them skies under? He'd say, I think it's an airport over there bound something, God in them planes. I said, I don't know about all that. breath. I never have noticed it before. It worried me. I'd lay in the bed at night. I'd stare out the window and look at them lights and worry, it is God sending His Son back to get His bride, and I was lost. And I knew all of my family was going to be gone. Oh, friend, and I wasn't ready to meet the Lord. Oh, but I praised His name for that night. Woo! In 1989, when the Lord came by, and He knocked on my heart, and her sweet Holy Ghost says, "Wilt thou go?" And I said, "I will go." And I've been going with God ever since. And I don't worry about the lights in the skies. And I don't worry about the storms that come. And I don't worry about when I lay my head on my pillow at night, what the night holds. I'm telling you, go where you want to this afternoon, but I believe I'll just go with God. It's a personal choice. Amen. Well, I want to tell you, it's a powerful choice. It's powerful. I mean, it's powerful. It will change your life forever. This matter of knowing the Lord. You cannot know the Lord and be the same. As somebody said, I haven't seen all that much change. I haven't seen no change in my life. That's what I'm trying to preach to you about. If you know the Lord, there's been a change. I mean, friend, you've completely lost identification with who you were before you met Him. That's exactly right. You're not even the same person. You're a new creature. My friend, created in Christ Jesus. That's exactly right. You're not even the same individual as you used to be. Those three little words, "I will go," changed her life forever. Oh, friend, the decision, the choice to walk with God, to go with God, to serve God, to love God will change your life. It'll make you where you're never the same again. She was identifying herself with a new family. She was identifying herself with a new geographic location. She was identifying herself with a new servant. My friend, she forsook everything. She left it all. She followed after the man that asked her the question, "Wilt thou go?" Oh, that's what you got to do, friend. Being saved is more than signing a season card. It's more than being baptized. It's more than getting religion. Oh, friend, knowing the Lord is a man have an absolute change in life. I mean, friend, before you is dead, and that which was dead in trespass and sin is now made alive in Christ Jesus. It's impossible for dust like us to come in contact with deity like Him and not be changed for time and eternally. Oh, friend, hey, Brother Pace said around our place about a couple of years ago, I said that salvation changes the man internally, externally, and eternally. And I'll say amen to that. I mean, we won't ever be the same again. I may not be all I want to be, but I can't be what I used to be. Peter figured out he couldn't be a fisherman if he tried. He might try fishing, but he couldn't catch nothing. Fished all night. Good boat, good net, good stuff, a good sea, good lake to fish in, good time to fish, but he couldn't catch anything anymore. You know why, don't you? He wasn't a fisherman anymore. He used to be, but there's a fellow come by, said, "Drop your nets and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." He was not who he used to be, and he couldn't be satisfied doing what he used to do. Amen. And neither can you if you're going with God. Amen. It's a choice. Well, I got to run and hurry on this now. Going with God, it's a choice. I want to tell you, it'll require commitment out of you. You want to go with God, it'll take commitment. It'll take, my friend, getting a... As a matter of fact, it'd do you some good if every morning you need a bowl full of gunpowder and wash it down with a half a glass full of "I don't give a rip what everybody thinks about me." And absolutely go out and take on the day. Amen. That's right. So long as you're concerned about what everybody else thinks, about what the world says, you'll have to divorce yourself from public opinion. You'll have to quit worrying about what your mother-in-law tells you and just serve the Lord. Amen. If you're going to walk with God, she said, "Ah, that's personal. My friend, that's a choice. Ah." And she said, "I will go." And not what do y'all think about it, but I will go. Oh, friend, Not maybe. Not I'll think it over. Not I'll take this matter into thoughtful consideration. That she committed to go. Have my friend, when God sends out the invitation, you will have my friend without hesitation and without reservation. And to say, Lord, oh yes, I'll go with you.
You can't walk with God while holding on to the world. Amen. Can two walk together except they be agreed? If you're going to go with God, you're going to have to let go of this world and commit to walk with God. Commitment is defined as a contractual engagement involved with the fulfillment of an obligation. You realize that to be committed to something means that you have obligated yourself to seeing it through. I wonder, are you committed to serve the Lord? Are you committed to see it through? Are you committed to walk with God? One meaning of the word commit means to cast over or to give over to another the care of something or to entrust a matter to another. You realize that is what we do when we get saved. We entrust this matter of our souls over to the Lord Jesus. Amen. We put our lives, our futures, and my friend, our eternities in the hands of God. And we trust Him with it. Amen. Amen. Not going to Him because I've done anything good. I couldn't do anything good to get there. And anything good that I might try to do has already been nullified by all the bad that I've done. Because if I'm guilty of the law at one point, I've broken it all. And I'm a lawbreaker and I'm in enmity with God. Oh, but praise His name. Hey, I've committed myself to His care. I've pledged myself to a particular position or course of action. See, spiritual commitment is identification with and involvement in the person, the plan, and the purpose of Jesus Christ for your life. I wonder, are you identified with Him? Are you involved with Him? If you're not identified with Him, if you're not involved with Him, then you're not committed to Him. Amen. Hey, you get married. You know what a lady does when she gets married? How she takes on her husband. Name. You know what that means? That means she has identified herself with her husband. Amen. Oh, hey, thank God. You know what we did when we got saved? We took on His name. Amen. We've identified ourselves with the bridegroom. Woo! Oh, yes. I'm identified with Him. You know what a real marriage does? And when you have a real marriage, you get involved one with another. You do things together. Have my friend, you get involved in one another's activities and interests and life. Hell, friend, is saved people. How we walk with God and we live for God and we serve God. We involve ourselves in the things of God. And if you're committed to go with God, you are identified with and involved with the person, the plan, and the purpose of Jesus Christ for your life. And He's asking this afternoon, will thou go with this man? You say what you want about it, but I will go. Amen. Oh, if you're going to commit to Him, you're going to face some opposition. There is certain opposition. Amen. Matter of fact, you're going to face some opposition from within. And you'll need some major motivation to overcome it. I mean, you're too busy. You love comfort. It's not convenient to your current lifestyle or place in life or goals. You'll face opposition from within. Low-down laziness will get in your way. Amen. That's exactly right. What was it one fellow said? Said laziness was a twin brother of sorrowness. Amen. And both of them will get in your way if you're not careful. You'll have to deal with that opposition. You'll have to be significantly motivated to live for God. Oh, but if you'll face the opposition, my friend, God will find a provision. Had her family approved of her going, they said, all right, it's okay for her to go. Why in the world would we get in the way of what God have her to do? Matter of fact, you call and ask her for herself, will you go? She said, I'll go. And they said, oh, but wait a minute now. Let her stay with us just a few days. Don't make her go right now. Matter of fact, let her stay
with us a few days. Now, a few is three. And then they said, at the least, 10. They hadn't got done with a sentence yet. It's done grown from 3 days to 10 days. And if she'd have stayed 10 days, they'd have said, stay 10 more. If she'd have stayed 10 more, they'd have said, stay 10 more. You know what the devil will do to you? When you've committed to go, he'll say, all right, it's okay to go. But don't do it now. Just wait a few days. Just wait a few years. Just wait a little while longer. What are you in such a hurry for? You've got plenty of time, but I'm telling you, the days are evil. Our time is short. Our days are but a handbreadth before the Lord. They're swifter than a weaver's shuttle. It's time and high time we awake out of our sleep and get busy about the Father's business. Amen. Well, may the Lord help us. And to get motivated, deal with it. Opposition we face. And commit to going with God.
Amen. He'll find provision for you. The family said, if you wait a few days longer, you'd be more qualified. I'm fast, well, I'll tell you what you ought to do. If you'd sit around here a few more days and let us talk to this servant, you might find out more about this man and be better equipped with the knowledge necessary to decide whether or not you really want to go through with this. As a matter of fact, what you need to do a little homework before you go any farther. Yet besides that, if you go fast, you're liable to become a fanatic or something. I mean, if you were to just go with him right now, you're liable to start acting like he does. He goes down to the well instead of drinking water. He prays until folks bring buckets of water down there. Water's his name. He's just a fanatic. For a man that you have never even seen. Somebody said, well, I just don't know if it's a good choice or not. God made a way. They provided a way for her. Hey, everything she needed, the servant had it. All the equipment necessary, he already had it. Had camels to ride on, food to eat, provision for the way. And my friend, the servant had the master's son waiting back at the house for them. I'm telling you, all the details had already been arranged before she ever said, I will go. And before you ever say, I'll go. Before you ever have committed unto the Lord, he's already got the details worked out. He's already got everything arranged. If you'll just trust in the Lord, with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, then he shall direct thy path. I'm telling you, let God take care of those things. If you'll go with him, it's going to take movement. You're going to have to commit to move. Amen. A lot of times you go apply for a job, one of the things they want to put on application is, are you open to the possibility of relocating? Are you willing to move, in other words, in order to retain your employment? My answer to all of those things has always been no. But now when it comes to the Lord, he says to you, are you willing to relocate? You better say yes. I'm not just talking about moving across the state or across the country. I'm talking about relocating your entire life. I'm talking about relocating your heart. I'm talking about relocating your citizenship. Amen. As long as you're satisfied to see it and wallow in sin, the slop bucket down in old sinful Moab. How long as you're satisfied to stay on the other side of Jordan's River, that's exactly where you will stay. Amen. But when you say, yes, Lord, I'm open to relocation. I'm ready to move up out of this place where I am. I'm looking for Canaan's fair land. Well, friend, when you get ready to go with God, he's got provisions for you in the way, and you can go. Now, it'll take some commitment. It'll take clinging. Amen. It'll take clinging. She, I clinged, claimed, clung. I'm not sure, but my friend, what the past tense of that is. She clinged, claimed, clung, whatever that is. She held on. She held fast to that servant. Amen. She left out of that place and held on to him. She didn't know where she was going. She didn't know who she was meeting. She didn't know how to get there. All she knew was a fellow walking
walking beside her had everything worked out and she could trust him. That's the way we are. I don't know where you're going. How can I know the way? Thomas said. That Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm just holding fast to him. I'm clinging to him. Somebody said, what about him clinging to me? Well, he's doing that too. I'm glad this things are going both ways. I'm not keeping myself saved, but I sure am holding fast all through the journey. I'm holding fast that profession of faith without wavering. Amen. I'm just preaching what the King James Bible says this afternoon. I'm holding fast that faith without wavering. My friend, I'm holding to the nail-scarred hand of the Lord Jesus. I'm walking hand in hand with Him. Every day, friend, I treasure His fellowship. I treasure His friendship. I treasure my friend Him walking with me and talking with me and telling me that I'm His own. Woo! Oh, yes. I'm glad He visits with me and speaks to my soul. And she let go of her family. She let go of her mom and her dad and her brothers and her sister. And yea, even her own life also. And she followed after this man. And that's what it'll take, or else you cannot be His disciple. You'll have to even deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus. Amen. She would cling to the promise that at the end of the way there was a farm waiting. Amen. At the end of the way, there was a groom waiting for her. At the end of the way, there was a home. There was a marriage. There was a place that was prepared. She clung to the promise. My friend, that at the end of the road, there were some things for her. I don't know about you, but I find myself in understanding Paul better every day. What he said in this life, if in this life only I had hope, I'd be of all men most miserable. But I'm clinging to a promise that Jesus gave, that if I go, and He did so, I'll prepare your place. And He said, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there He may be also. Why do you keep calling? Why do you keep preaching? Why do you keep singing? Because I've got a promise. Woo! Oh, yes! When I consider the promise, makes me want to shout on, sing on, preach on, go on, serve on. Amen. I believe I'll just go with God. There's provision for the way. There's a presence at the end of the road. And my friend, a sweet Holy Ghost all along the way. And I praise God. And when I get to the end of the road, there's a covenant waiting. I'm talking about a marriage covenant. Amen. And they say, there's a bridegroom come to Jesus. Also, did Paul not say when he spoke of Jesus and the church, that he spoke of a mystery, that he spoke about that husband and wife, when he said he spoke about Christ and the church? We're to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. He is the groom. We are the bride. Amen. I'm glad there's a covenant. There's a ceremony. There is a promise waiting on me. In verse number 63, Isaac went out in the field to meditate. And when he went out there to meditate, I don't know about you, but I believe I know what he was thinking about. Now you think about it just a minute here. If your daddy sent somebody to get you a wife and you've never seen her before, and when she got back, you were supposed to get married to her, what would you be out in the field thinking about? I know what I'd be thinking about. Some of you never would have married such a pretty woman if your daddy had picked out your wife to be, man. Isn't that wonderful, thank God? Oh, that the Heavenly Father knows exactly what we need. And Isaac's out there in the field. And I know what he's thinking about. He's thinking about, what about that woman? What about that bride that my servant's going to bring back? Oh, you know what Jesus is thinking about on the other side? Right now, you know what He's meditating on? He's thinking about His bride. He's thinking about us. I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. He's got me on His mind this afternoon.
Woo! And he's just waiting for his father to say, all right, it's time to go get her. Bring her on home. Verse 64 tells us about the moment that she saw him. The Bible said, and she saw him. Don't know about you, but that's enough for me. Oh, I want to see him. I look upon his face. I want to see him. She had been asking questions. She had been thinking about him. Her servant had told her about him. Had told her how rich he was. Had told her how good looking he was. Had told her how wonderful he was. Had told her how wild that he was. And all she had was an image in her mind of when she saw him. Woo! All that she had wondered about was put to rest. I'm telling you now, we look to it last Thursday. But see him face to face. Or we're going to see him. And when she saw him, her faith ended inside.
And the Bible says she lighted off the candle. Amen. She didn't light up a candle. She lighted off a candle. Well, we don't even really have an opportunity to hold this microphone. I'm sure she was making all the noise.
They have to put a filter on ours at the church to keep me from just destroying it the way I sweat. I used to think it's cause it's fat, and then I lost 50 pounds and I still sweat like this. So I don't know what it is. Amen. Oh, but she lighted off her camel. We don't even have an English term to express what that means, lighted off the camel. But friend, if you look it up in the Hebrew here, it insinuates some things. By the way, I don't read Greek and Hebrew. I don't read English real good, but I can decipher a dictionary. And I looked it up to see what does this mean. She lighted off a camel. She lighted off of her camel. It literally means to fall, to trip, to fall flat on your face, to become disorderly, to drop dead, to pass out, to kill over. Amen. Oh, friend, she did not gracefully dismount her camel that she was riding on. She took one look at him and it knocked her over. Amen. As she took one look at him and she fell off that camel, she lost her composure, she came upon it, and she went sideways of herself. Woo! Somebody said, "Why don't y'all act like that? Down there at the church, I'm just seeing a glimpse now. If you think I'm acting disorderly now, you wait till I see him and I light off my camel." Woo! When we get over there, well, won't it be grand? Well, look at him, and you ain't never heard at the sound. You have never heard at the singing. When we fall before him and look upon his face, oh, what a day it'll be. You choose this day who you'll serve. But I believe I'll go with God. I believe I'll go with God. And it'll be worth it to go with God.
Wilt thou go with this man? We'll go. Amen. Thank you, preacher. Hallelujah. Amen.